Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
When Megan, Tara, and Brooke rented the house on Willow Street, none of them had any reason to think there was anything unusual about it. They were all in their late 20s, had known one another for several years, and were at that stage where sharing a house still made more financial sense than trying to live alone. The place was older than most of the rentals they had looked at, probably built sometime in the 1940s, but it had been updated enough that nobody cared. It had 3 bedrooms, a decent kitchen, a fenced backyard, and most importantly, enough space that they weren't constantly on top of one another. For the first few months, the house was completely normal. There were the usual sounds that came with an older place. A floorboard near the upstairs bathroom squeaked. One kitchen cabinet never wanted to stay fully closed, and the furnace could be surprisingly loud when it kicked on. None of them thought much about any of it because there was nothing to think about. Then Megan's life became complicated. It started with problems at work. The company she worked for began cutting hours, then announced layoffs were coming. Megan was fairly certain her position would survive, but the uncertainty made her anxious, especially because she had recently taken on a car payment and didn't have much savings. Around the same time, a relationship she had been in for almost 2 years began falling apart. For several weeks, she was tense almost constantly. Tara and Brooke noticed because Megan was normally the easiest of the three to live with. She was organized, rarely complained, and tended to keep whatever was bothering her to herself. Suddenly, she was coming home frustrated, spending long periods in her room and snapping over things that normally wouldn't have mattered. Nobody connected any of that to what started happening in the house. The first incident was so small that Brooke didn't even mention it at first. She was in the kitchen one evening while Megan was upstairs on the phone with her boyfriend. Tara was working late, so Brooke was alone downstairs when a coffee mug slid several inches across the counter. She heard the scrape and turned in time to see it stop. Her first thought was that the counter wasn't level. She tested it with another mug, then with a glass, but nothing moved. Eventually, she decided she must have bumped the counter without realizing it and forgot about the whole thing. A few nights later, Tara heard a door slam upstairs. She was in the living room reading while Brooke was out and Megan was in her bedroom. The sound was hard enough to make her look up, and a few seconds later, she heard Megan's voice through the wall, clearly arguing with someone on the phone. Tara assumed Megan had slammed the bathroom door or closet door out of frustration and didn't think anything more about it until Megan came downstairs 20 minutes later. When Tara jokingly asked whether she had won the argument, Megan looked confused. She admitted she had been fighting with her boyfriend, but she hadn't left her room. Tara mentioned the door slam, and Megan shrugged it off. The house was old. Maybe a window had been opened somewhere, or one of the doors hadn't latched properly. That explanation seemed reasonable enough. The next incident was harder to dismiss. About a week later, all 3 women were home on a Saturday afternoon. Megan had just received word that several people in her department were being laid off, although she still didn't know whether she was one of them. She was pacing between the kitchen and dining room while talking about everything that could go wrong if she lost her job. Brooke was sitting at the table and Tara was leaning against the counter when something fell in the living room. It sounded heavy enough that all three stopped talking. When they went to check, they found a framed picture lying face down several feet from the shelf where it had been sitting. The frame wasn't broken, but the distance bothered Tara. If it had simply tipped forward, it should have landed close to the shelf. Instead, it looked as though it had been pushed or thrown outward. Megan picked it up and checked the shelf. Nothing else had moved. For the first time, one of them joked that maybe the house was haunted. Nobody took the comment seriously. Still after that, they started noticing more. A bedroom door would be open when they were certain it had been closed. Something would knock once or twice from inside a wall. Brooke began hearing footsteps upstairs when she knew nobody was up there, usually slow and heavy enough that she would stop what she was doing and listen. The oddest part was that Megan seemed to miss most of it. Brooke and Tara would hear something while Megan was showering, sleeping, or talking on the phone. Once, Tara watched the laundry room door slowly swing open while Megan was sitting at the kitchen table with her back to it. Another night, Brooke heard three loud bangs from the hallway while Megan was downstairs crying after finally ending the relationship with her boyfriend. Megan never heard them. At first, Tara and Brooke thought that was simply coincidence. The three of them had different schedules, and there were plenty of hours when one person was home while the others were gone. It wasn't strange that everyone didn't experience the same things, and then Megan left town for 4 days to visit her sister. The house went completely quiet, no footsteps upstairs, no knocks in the walls, no doors opening on their own. Tara mentioned it to Brooke on the third night, mostly as a joke. They both laughed about how maybe the ghost had gone on vacation too. Megan came home Sunday afternoon. That evening, she received an email confirming that her position was being eliminated. She didn't take the news well. For nearly an hour, she sat at the kitchen table going through bills, figuring out what she could cut, and becoming more upset the longer she looked at the numbers. Tara stayed with her while Brooke made dinner, trying to reassure her that she would find something else. At one point, Megan pushed her chair back and walked upstairs, saying she needed a few minutes alone. Less than a minute after her bedroom door closed, every cabinet door in the kitchen opened. Not all at once, one after another. Brooke stood frozen beside the stove while Tara stared across the room as six cabinet doors slowly swung outward in different directions. Neither woman said anything until the last one stopped moving. Then they looked toward the ceiling. Megan was directly above them, and for the first time, Tara wondered whether they had been wrong about what was happening in that house. Tara and Brooke didn't tell Megan about the cabinet doors right away, partly because she had just lost her job and was already overwhelmed, but also because neither of them knew what they had actually seen. They checked the hinges and opened and closed each cabinet several times. A few were loose enough that one might drift open on its own, but not six of them, and certainly not one after another. Over the next several days, they quietly paid closer attention to when things happened. Tara began noting whenever she heard footsteps or knocking, while Brooke started noticing whether Megan was home whenever something moved. The pattern wasn't perfect, but it became increasingly difficult to ignore. The house was often quiet when Megan went out for interviews or spent an evening with her sister, while the activity seemed to increase when she came home frustrated or upset. One night, Megan was upstairs filling out job applications when Tara and Brooke heard several quick knocks from inside the dining room wall. A few minutes later, Megan came downstairs angry because an application website had crashed and erased almost an hour of work. Neither Tara nor Brooke said anything, but they exchanged the same look. A few days later, Megan got into an argument with her ex over the phone. She ended the call badly and went upstairs, and almost immediately something struck the kitchen wall hard enough to make a framed print jump sideways. That was when Brooke finally said they needed to talk about what they had been noticing. Megan initially assumed they meant the house was haunted. She had heard enough of the strange sounds by then to know they weren't imagining everything, but Tara explained that wasn't exactly what they meant. They told her how quiet the house had been while she was visiting her sister and how often the activity seemed to follow periods when she was especially stressed. Megan listened at first, but the more they explained, the more defensive she became. When she finally asked whether they thought she was somehow causing it, neither Tara nor Brooke knew quite how to answer. Brooke mentioned that she had read about poltergeist activity being centered around living people, particularly during periods of intense stress. It didn't mean Megan was consciously doing anything. If the theory had any truth to it, she might simply be at the center of whatever was happening. Megan hated that explanation. A ghost in the house was one thing, but the idea that objects might be moving because of her emotions made her feel responsible for something she couldn't control. She told them they were reading too much into coincidences and went upstairs angry. For almost a week afterward, very little happened. Megan had two promising interviews and seemed more hopeful, while Tara and Brooke deliberately avoided discussing whether her improved mood had anything to do with the quieter house. Then one of the jobs fell through. Megan had expected an offer only to receive an email saying the company had chosen someone else. She sat at the kitchen table staring at her phone for several minutes before saying she needed some time alone and going upstairs. Tara and Brooke were still in the kitchen when a chair in the dining room scraped across the floor. Both women turned and saw that it had moved nearly a foot away from the table, even though nobody was near it. Brooke stepped into the room just as another chair shifted several inches in the opposite direction. That was the moment they stopped treating the activity as an interesting mystery. When they told Megan what had happened, she didn't argue. Instead, she admitted that something strange had happened in her bedroom the night before. Her bedside lamp had flickered several times and shut off, then came back on just as she reached for the switch. At the time, she had blamed the bulb, but now she wasn't so sure. After that, all three women began paying attention together. The activity still seemed strongest when Megan was upset, while calmer stretches could pass with almost nothing happening. Eventually, Megan found another job. The pay was good enough, the hours were better than before, and within a few weeks, she seemed more like herself again. She slept better, worried less about money, and stopped carrying the same tension around the house. The activity faded with it. The footsteps became less frequent, the knocking almost disappeared, and nothing moved in front of Tara or Brooke for several weeks. Then Megan received a call from her ex. Tara was in the living room when the conversation began and could tell almost immediately that something about it had upset her. Megan's voice became sharper, then suddenly quiet. And after a few minutes, she ended the call and stood motionless beside the couch. Across the room, a ceramic bowl began to move. Tara watched it slide across the coffee table, but instead of simply dropping at the edge, it continued outward just far enough to clear the table before falling onto the rug. Megan saw it too. For several seconds, neither woman moved. There was no question this time about whether someone had bumped the furniture or whether the floor was uneven. They had both watched it happen. And for the first time, Megan had to consider that whatever was happening in that house might not be connected to the house at all. After the bowl moved, Megan stopped arguing that Tara and Brooke were imagining a connection that wasn't there. She still hated the idea that she might somehow be involved, but watching an object move several feet in front of her was different from being told about cabinet doors or footsteps she hadn't heard herself. For the rest of that evening, the three of them talked more openly than they had in weeks. Megan admitted that the activity frightened her, but what bothered her most was the possibility that she was somehow responsible for it. Tara kept reminding her that even if the poltergeist theory was right, nobody was suggesting she was intentionally moving things. Whatever was happening seemed to occur around her, not because she consciously wanted it to happen. They decided to test the pattern as much as they could. The following weekend, Megan went to stay with her sister for several days. She needed the break anyway. And all three women were curious to see what would happen in the house while she was gone. Tara and Brooke agreed not to change their routines or go looking for activity. They simply lived normally and paid attention. Nothing happened. The house was quiet for four straight days. There were no footsteps upstairs, no knocks from the walls, and no doors standing open that either woman remembered closing. The kitchen cabinet stayed shut and nothing moved. What made the experiment more interesting was that Megan didn't experience anything at her sister's house either. That mattered because it seemed to argue against the simplest idea that something was attached to her and followed her wherever she went. If that had been the case, they assumed at least something should have happened while she was away. Instead, both houses were quiet. When Megan came home, the activity didn't immediately return. She had settled into the new job by then, and things with her ex finally seemed finished. For nearly 2 weeks, nothing unusual happened. Then she had a difficult conversation with her mother about money. It wasn't a major argument, but Megan came home upset afterward and spent most of the evening in her bedroom. Tara and Brooke were downstairs when they heard several heavy knocks from inside the wall separating the kitchen and dining room. A few minutes later, the guest bathroom door slammed shut hard enough that both of them jumped. Megan heard that one too. By then, none of them needed to discuss the pattern. The activity seemed to require two things at once. Megan had to be in the house, and she usually had to be under some kind of emotional strain. When she was away, nothing happened. When she was home and doing well, the house could remain quiet for weeks. That realization actually helped Megan more than it frightened her. If the house contained a ghost that could become active whenever it wanted, there wasn't much she could do about it. But if whatever was there somehow became stronger when she was overwhelmed, then at least there was something she could control indirectly. She began paying more attention to how much stress she was carrying, not because she believed she could simply switch the activity on and off, but because she was tired of living in a constant state of tension. Over the next few months, her life became steadier. She settled into the new job, stopped communicating with her ex, and gradually worked through some of the financial problems that had been hanging over her since the layoff. As Megan changed, the house changed with her. The incidents became less frequent and much less intense. Occasionally, Tara would hear a soft knock from somewhere upstairs, or Brooke would find a door open that she thought she had closed, but those events became rare enough that they stopped keeping track. Nothing else flew from a shelf or moved across a room, and by autumn, weeks could pass without anything happening. The three women eventually renewed their lease for another year, which would have seemed impossible during the worst of the activity. They joked occasionally about how convinced they had once been that the house was haunted, although none of them completely believed that explanation anymore. What bothered them was that they still didn't know what the alternative meant. Brooke read more about poltergeist cases and found plenty of theories suggesting that some activity might center around a living person rather than a spirit. Stress, grief, and emotional upheaval were often mentioned as possible factors, although nobody seemed able to explain exactly how a person could unconsciously affect objects around them. Tara had another theory. She wondered whether the house really did contain something, but Megan's stress somehow gave it the energy to become stronger. Maybe Megan wasn't producing the activity at all. Maybe she was simply making it possible for whatever was already there to be noticed. Megan preferred that explanation, although she wasn't sure she actually believed it. About a year after the cabinet doors first opened, Tara brought up something all three had noticed. Megan had been doing well for months, and the house had become so quiet that none of them could remember the last genuinely strange incident. They were still living in the same rooms, using the same furniture, and hearing all the normal creaks and furnace noises they had heard when they first moved in. Whatever had been happening seemed to have faded along with the worst period of Megan's life. Eventually, all three women moved out for ordinary reasons. Tara moved in with her boyfriend, Brooke took a job in another city, and Megan found a smaller apartment she could afford on her own. Nothing unusual happened in Megan's new place. Years later, the three of them still disagree about what happened on Willow Street. Tara thinks the house probably was haunted and that whatever was there somehow became more active around Megan. Brooke still leans toward the poltergeist theory, although even she admits there's no real way to know whether Megan was producing the activity or simply giving something else the energy it needed. Megan has never been comfortable with either explanation. She only knows that during one of the most stressful periods of her life, something in that house seemed to react to her. When she was upset, things moved, doors slammed, knocks came from the walls. When she was away, the house went quiet, and when her life finally settled down, the activity slowly disappeared. Maybe there was never anything in the house until Megan moved in. Or maybe something had been there all along, quiet and unnoticed, until it found someone whose emotions gave it enough energy to make itself known. They never figured out which explanation was right. But Megan has always preferred the second one, because the idea that something in that house had been feeding off the worst period of her life was disturbing enough. The possibility that it had simply been waiting for someone like her was worse.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.